Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with my producer, Dr. Dave, high atop the radio world in Portland, Oregon. And we want to welcome all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network and the ones in Texas. Thanks for being with us and letting us into your homes today, or your cars, or wherever you're listening. I'm going to have a little Eagles music along the way. And I want to say this portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef just like Grandpa used to raise. Check it out at PaintedHillsNaturalBeef.com. Our guest today is coming to us all the way from Southeast Georgia. I stumbled across Ben Lang and his barbecues, smokers, thanks to Kel Phelps, who was on the show last week. Now, I must say I've probably seen your smokers, but I've never, you know, physically been around them. But first, let me be proper and welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you very much, JT. It's a pleasure to be with you guys.
No worries. So give us a little history, Ben, on Lang Barbecue Smokers. You know, going back 1988 or even further back, how you got into this crazy world.
Well, probably started with Grandpa. He ran the smokehouse back in the day and sold his meats from smoked bacons and ham from horse-drawn, mule-drawn wagons, him and my father. And along the way, Dad and some cousins and brothers cobbled up a cooker for use at family gatherings and weddings and such, cooking hogs, things like that, and kind of come up with what they thought was the best of all apparatuses, kind of a mixture of a little bit of everything. And I saw the cooker in action and found out how good a cooker it was in terms of the way the food cooked in it, and decided to build a product line out of it, standardize all the parts and components, and build a product line out of it and a brand. And knowing full well that I could build it, as I say, goof proof, where you'd have a guy that's never cooked barbecue, get a hold of this cooker, take some simple instruction, look at a video or two, read through the user guide, and fire that bad boy up, and his friends and colleagues thinks he's reinvented fire in terms of cooking, the way the food just pops coming off the cooker. And the primary reason is because it sizzles and sears the meat to perfection. But, you know, I guess it all started with Grandpa and Daddy peddling that stuff out of the wagon, talking and chewing the fat along the way.
Sure.
You know, little did they know that it would turn into something that thousands of people would use a product and serve their needs, cooking and, you know, winning friends and influencing people cooking with food.
Did you have any engineering training, or was this OJT type stuff?
No. It's a little more than that. My background was sales and marketing primarily, but I had the engineering and mechanical aptitude to the ability to be able to build and do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, putting those things together after having the marketing and the sales skills honed, set out to build a trademark brand name product that'd be recognized worldwide.
Sure.
And by God's good grace, that's what we got. It's not often that you talk and you end up looking or seeing a Lang barbecue smoker or hearing about one pretty quickly. You know, the use of them on television episodes and things and reruns is to this day astonishing how well they're received.
Did the original one that your granddad and father put together, did it have the, you know, the offset firebox, or was it Did you have to change the original design?
It was Dad, and my brothers and cousins that cobbled up the first one, but it always had an offset firebox and a baffle plate that made the heat reverse its flow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the nickname it took along the way, reverse flow, and you know, people start paying notice and imitating what we were doing.
Sure.
But when I set out to build a product line, I looked at it in terms of engineering it so it couldn't fall apart, overbuilding it, or building it like a cast iron skillet all welded. It couldn't do anything but sizzle and sear meat.
Mm-hmm.
And fix it so it would run proper and be easy to clean up. It should be a no-brainer, and it is. That's the way the thing cooks. It just sizzles and sears meat. But I set out to build a griddle in ours when we started with the cookers in production. The griddle was to allow the fat to render onto it and the grease to drain off of it. And we found out along the way that when you let fat render naturally, as it's seasoned fat at that, render on a clean griddle, hot griddle, you got moisture and flavor beyond compare. Chefs seek it. It is the deal. It really is. That fat rendering on a griddle is magic. And as long as you hose it out while it's hot and knock the grease out of it so that next time you bust it off and cook it, season fat again, nothing rancid. Always seasoned cooker, but nothing rancid from last cook. And people pay notice to it. It's like they get ruined. They don't want food cooking the other way.
I can believe that, yeah.
Well, what happens is the food's leaner and cleaner tasting than anything you ever got a hold of. And the first time you eat a morsel of food off the cooker, it throws you back because it's like, wow, this is moisture than I've ever had before, because it's not mimic moisture or some condensation created thing.
Right.
It's real fat rendering, and that's where the magic is. We've all eaten barbecue that's all filler, no flavor, and stopped eating it and don't want any more. And that's why big-time barbecue restaurant chains still seek the holy grail of barbecue, trying to find the next best thing. And whether it's an electric contraption or pellet this or that or whatever it might be, they're seeking it. And really, all they're doing is finding out they need to get back to authentic, let each barbecue joint cook its own stuff to these guidelines, quit trying to supply it through commissaries, et cetera, et cetera. And they're finding out that that's where the magic is, getting back to authentic. That's how you reinvent yourself.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of restaurants. Now, I don't know if they've used your products, Lang's, or I know some of them have built their own, but it's the same theory. You know, it's not too hard to take pictures or be around your product and get ideas, and people go and build their own on a much larger or smaller or whatever they're looking for. Everybody's different, but I have seen a lot of those, but I've never heard anybody talk about the fat rendering like that, like you just did, and I think that's fascinating, and it makes a lot of sense.
You know what my first job was at 15 years old?
What, cleaning out after they rendered hogs?
Well, not quite. I'd already come up on a farm killing hogs and scalding them and doing all that stuff.
Right.
And everything that goes with being on a farm, sweet potatoes and making syrup included. But the cooker itself, the fat render and the griddle, my first job at 15 was flipping burgers on a real 8-foot griddle in McDonald's, one in the left hand, one in the right hand, and filling them up 24 and 48 at a time as those buses rolled on to sell those millions of burgers, or the first millions, or whatever it was.
Sure.
But that was my first experience working with a griddle and seeing what could be done with it and finding out how paramount it was to keep it clean. Because you just fire it off next morning without cleaning it. Nobody's going to come eat with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why restaurants rise and fall is they get going, they're jam up, snappy fresh, and everything's on point, and then lose sight along the way of what got it there, and that was a clean apparatus and something that was swabbed down and cleaned up all the time, you know, and that's the difference. You know, some people joke about it, but some of these convection-type affairs in these kitchens around the nation, if the health department was really looking at what's going on, they ain't getting cleaned very often.
That's y'all. True.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's just a matter of time before we see some of what I heard about recently where people went to a reunion and cooked their own, and they all ended up in the hospital ER,
Uh-oh.
The whole family, almost 200 of them. They cooked for themselves on something they had going on, whatever they cooked. You know what I'm saying? Same kind of thing applies as whether it's clean or not, though.
Yep.
Whether it's a restaurant or a homeowner unit, you got to be careful.
Yes, yeah. You do. Hey, we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation, and we're going to be back and talk some more with Ben Lang from Lang Barbecue and Smokers down in Georgia right after this. Please don't go away.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Dr. Dave. And before we get back with our discussion with Ben Lang from Lang Barbecued Smokers, we want to tell you that you can email us at BBQNation, that's the letters BBQ and the word nation, at alphamediausa.com. You can also find our shows on the SoundCloud. It's Barbecue Nation spelled out with JT. Facebook, it's the same thing, Barbecue Nation with JT. And say hi to a couple of our affiliates independently here, KACI in Hood River in the Dalles and KPNW down in Eugene. Okay, that's all good. So let's get back to talking with Ben Lang from Lang Barbecue Smokers. And do you make these right there in your own warehouse, Ben, or do you fabricate them there?
That's exactly right. We've got what we call a little smoker cooker factory. And we got a facility that's it's expanding as we speak, but it's well over 18,000 square feet of space, and we've just picked up 8 acres around us. So we're expanding to the extent that we can spread our wings out there and serve like we need to. But yeah, everything's fabricated right here in made in the USA, Southeast Georgia. My steel is domestic. We make a purpose of making sure that's the case. And, you know, our workers are U.S. workers.
Well, there you go. So I want you to do something for me. I want you to use your technology skills and explain to our listening audience the difference between just a barbecue that flows straight across where the heat kind of flows straight across and up the chimney, and then one that does the reverse flow that like you make. Kind of tell them how the science of that works, because I don't think a lot of people understand that.
Well, you're absolutely right, JT. It's you look at a cooker, and you know, you notice that there might be a cylinder that you're cooking in, or an apparatus that you're cooking in, and it's cooking direct. Coals are right there in the under what you're cooking, or in that same apparatus, you might put the coals on one side and the food on the other, and have it kind of indirect. Then when you get outside of that apparatus, it's a box, external box, that's usually an offset type firebox that's on one end of a cooking apparatus, and then there's usually a smoke exhaust on the opposite end from the firebox. So when you fire the box and it draws through, it's just kind of like you said, a draw through affair. It just shoots through there one time and it's gone. In our smoker cookers, we've decided that the heat running under a baffle plate back over a baffle plate made more sense. You use the heat twice, should be more even, and more friendly to get along with, which it was. It was even so friendly that we made a griddle out of the baffle apparatus. It's a fat rendering and searing griddle. That's what we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And that heat flows under and over it. And the smokestack is on the same end as a firebox. That's what kind of distinguishes it as a reverse flow. You look at it and you go, wait a minute, smokestack, firebox are on the same end? How in the world can that thing work? Well, it's like any book you hadn't read that's good. You got to look into it. And the same thing applies. It just drafts and runs like it needs to. Fat renders, grease drains out, easy to clean, just goof-proof. You know, we've had the luxury of 30 years, one product, five sizes, and, 25 versions of the models and the different sizes, but, one product.
Does it also, that reverse flow that you've created there, does that Not that it's a big issue, but does it cut down a bit on the fuel use, whatever you're using, stickwood or, you know,
yeah,
what have you?
The temperatures, the cooking times are diminished. In other words, it doesn't take near as long to reach internal temperatures once the heat's passing through twice.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find that pretty quick. The first time you use one, it's like, wow, that's a pleasant surprise. Didn't take near as long to cook that. And that's kind of the way it works in that regard. It's a fuel thing. Once you get it hot, it stays hot because the quarter inch all welded construction of the units. I liken them to a big old skillet in your hands that you got hot and ready to sear meat. And our smallest extra small unit is 600 pounds. So you get that puppy 300 degrees, you know, 60 pounds of meat hadn't got a chance. It's going to sear out and get right.
Sure.
And that's kind of the premise we use. Our stuff outweighs the competitors in terms of what you get for your money. And if you factor in the weight and the price per pound, you realize what a wholesale factory direct bargain we offer when you're buying direct from the plant versus dealing with dealers and a bunch of retailers and stuff.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Understand.
We've had some of the biggest retailers want to take our product where they want to go with it. But, you know, they want us to still do the shipping and do all the work. I'm going, wait a minute. You know, if you want our product, you got to do some of the work.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
take the shipping away, you know, come get it.
I spent some time in my life in the retail business and, you know, they're always complaining about freight costs and that, and legitimately so in some things, but I see your point very well. I mean, you've got a great product and you've got a sincerely good demand for your product. You don't have to play those games.
Well, we do have that luxury in that regard, but, you know, I'm like anybody else. I'd like to see our stuff scaling up and go to the next level. I feel like it will with the right people at the helm,
sure,
so to speak, you know, along with our family that's brought it this far. We've got a great product that's serving the needs, and as it continues to do so, I think there's some good things on the horizon for our product and some of the places it's going to be seen.
Oh yeah. Now, Ben, we've got about a minute left, a little bit over a minute before we got to go back to break here. Do you remember the first thing you ever cooked on one of your barbecue smokers?
Well, I remember the first thing I ever ate off of one, but the first thing I ever cooked, I got to tell you, you know, anything I've ever cooked on, it's been like the most wonderful thing for the first time because it's all unique. Every time you cook a different type of food with it, whether
sure.
it's chicken wings or sausage or, you know, it's a cooker. It doesn't matter. You can cook anything, any temperature, any time. That's what I was mentioning earlier. You can cook a brisket at 350 in 6 hours and win a championship. It's that good a brisket just because of the way the heat and the moisture blends in there.
Oh yeah, well, it sounds good to me. Hey, we're going to take another break. We're going to be back with Ben Lang from Lang Barbecue Smokers right after this, and you're listening to the Barbecue Nation. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. Again, I'm JT, Dr. Dave, and we've got Ben Lang with us from Lang Barbecue Smokers. Want to say again, though, that this segment is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your friends and family, and that is the truth because I have been doing that for years. And my friend Mark down at Barclays still got the special of the week. We're going to be doing a little special of the week for Mark from here on out. This is the last week of this one. If you think you're a Quigley-type you know, long-distance shooter type thing. He's got a 4570 high wall down there. It's never been fired. It's imported by Cimarron, but manufactured by Uberti. So you can give them a call if you're into the collectibles firearms there, 503-982-2033. Now let's get back to my new friend Ben Lang from Lang Barbecue Smokers. I hate to ask, this is kind of a silly question, but what style of your machine or your apparatus do you have at your house to cook on?
The what I call my extra small model, which is my 36 and that series, and I use an original with turf tires on the front, a pneumatic turf tire upgrade on the front instead of the steel casters. So it's and I can move. You know, I got it out there under the maple tree, sitting off away from the pool in the house, so I don't mess things up, and I can, you know, keep it clean. Yeah, there you go. And if I need to, I can move it as the sun moves the shade, you know, so I'm good.
There you go. Now, Ben, how fussy are you? And this is, again, I think you probably already answered this question, but it's important for the listeners. How fussy are you on the materials? Now, and let me tell you why I'm asking that specifically. We've seen certain cookers that started out with a bang, and they were doing really good, and as their business grew, they went overseas to make it. If they were still, fabricating it and manufacturing it in their own shops, but they went for a little cheaper steel or what have you, because they had to get it out the door. There was too many demands on them. They were selling to big box stores, whatever. And I don't condemn them for that, because that's a business model, but to me, another business model is you stay really hard-nosed and focused on the quality of materials in your product, and you can't go wrong. That's my theory. You tell me what you do.
Well, you're exactly right. Staying true to the cause and what you're trying to accomplish. My biggest fear when I started my business was that when I sold it to a cooker to someone, I'd never see them again, because I knew how heavy it was built, and it's indestructible, so to speak. They weren't going to tear it up and wear it out.
Right.
So I'll never see them again. You know, little did I know that they would want bigger ones, and their friends would want them, and they'd want to buy them as gifts and all the great things that have happened. But the quality in the metal has always been first and foremost, because you need to have a thickness of metal that lets the thing cook proper. I've had thinner gauge machines. I've built thinner gauge machines. And when consumers given a choice, he or she prefers the thicker machine. I've sold the same gauge, thin and thick gauge machines at same money. And when given a choice, consumer picks the quarter inch every time, because that's a no-brainer for them. It's going to last longer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true to cost. I think the temperament of it. When you've got a thickness of metal in an all welded construction, it's real, real friendly. It gets hot, stays hot, real predictable. Unlike thinner metal, non welded construction, bolt together, whatever it might be, you're all over the place, you know. And so is the temperature. It's all about consistency of purpose. That's why we keep our metals thick, quarter inch through and through, and we try to stay at the same standards. We improve as we need to and can. We've got some areas where we're reinventing ourselves in some areas and doing some things, but it's still the same smoker cooker that we started with all these years ago. You know,
is it that, you know, not going to name any products by name, but some of them, like I said, they started out going huckledy buck and great, and then as the fabrication got away from them, you would really look at one of the machines and you would look at it, and all of a sudden in the corner you'd notice that the weld wasn't even, or there was an air gap in there, and you would lose heat, or, you know, it was just kind of shoddy workmanship, to be quite frank with you. But again, they were started doing them on a mass things, and especially some of the ones that they were bringing in from overseas. But if you really looked at these, and these
are exactly they're watered down versions of what they used to be,
right?
Yeah.
And I know the audience gets tired of me harping on this, but, you know, when you look at that and you say, okay, if I'm John Q. Public and I just need something that I only cook outside on for, you know, a half a dozen times a year when we have friends or family over, fine, go to the big box store, spend your $300 and do that. That's fine, because you're not going to use it up. You know what I mean? I mean, you're not going to use it to the fullest extent.
You know what a lot of people are telling me at that point? They're saying, look, I've done that three times already.
Yeah.
Two and a half times. I'm done doing that. I don't want to do that no more.
Right.
And they realize, you know, I'm paying for something and I don't even have it. I've already bought one of these old $300 and $400 gadgets that ain't working. And some of them are 600 or 1,000, and it still don't work.
Right.
But, yeah, it's uncanny what can happen. I call it a pig in a poke. You can spend the same, yeah, you can spend the same kind of money for what you think is going to do what you want, and you've got to hold your mouth right to get it cooked right, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that way with some of this stuff, and it was that way back in the day when you looked around at what was available. It's just now the quality's better in what's available, and of course, you know, the prices. We've seen things in 30 years. We've seen things that used to cost one number be three times more.
Right,
know?
Right.
You know, over a course of 30 years, yeah.
Well, and like I said, you know, if the design for certain cookers, gas grills, whatever, and if they're made for the big box store, you know, there's a kind of a place for everybody like that. But like you pointed out, you do that two or three times and you're kind of, in fact, I have a friend, a very good friend that called me about a month and a half ago. And he said, I really want to step up, you know? And he kind of explained the situation. This was the second gas grill he'd gone through, and there's nothing wrong with gas grills if that's what blows your skirt up. But my point is I recommended some stuff to him that was probably twice as much as he wanted to pay for, but I knew that the fabricating and the manufacturing of that was solid versus versus going to Home Depot or something. So, you know, there's my theory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know, the cut and dry of it is it's a cooking apparatus, and it needs to work with no aggravation and be easy to maintain and clean. If it's not those kind of things, it's kind of it's not a bunch of fun. You know, it really isn't. There's no fun cleaning up something and trying to cook in it.
Right. Now and that's another important point that you make. You've got to clean these things.
You need to hose out whatever you just cooked in to the extent that you got nothing going to be rancid in there in a few days from lack of cooking.
Right.
Now, some people don't rinse it out because they go, oh, I never let it get hot or let it cool off. It's still hot all the time. I go, yeah, okay. Most kitchens I ever seen, you had to clean them down at the end of the shift.
Right.
You know, you had to clean down the kitchens, and you know, you just did not do that for the shift coming in the morning. They were cleaned down, and that included the cooking apparatuses. But a lot of places don't buy into that, and the reason some of them don't is they go, oh, it takes them too many hours to clean it. In some regards, the big stuff, but the small stuff, they bought into. Oh, it's seasoning. I can't take that out. It's seasoning. But what really they want for seasoning is oil and metal. That's steel. That's perfectly seasoned like a skillet.
Right. Well,
anything else becomes rancid.
Well, and it's kind of like, I guess maybe a good way to describe it to some of the listeners is when you go to a restaurant and you get some French fries with your hamburger or whatever you're eating, and they taste like fish because they never change the oil. Or you go to a Chinese restaurant and they've been cooking their fried shrimp in the same oil for a week. That's kind of the same thing, you know, to me.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, it's kind of rough.
Yeah, the French fries, you run some potatoes through the oil and you can clean it up somewhat and reuse it. But, yeah, you're right. You can mess up some food in a hurry that way. It's like when you're cooking, you can smell a clean apparatus. It gets your attention. It's like, wow, man,
yep.
What's that? That smells pretty darn good. But something that's not clean, when it's fired up, it doesn't keep your attention very long.
No,
usually you want to get out of being downwind of it in a hurry, you know, if it's not a cleaned up apparatus. But if it's clean, you don't even mind being around it when it's not running.
That's true. Again, if you would like to email us here at the show, it's BBQNation, that's BBQNation at alphamediausa.com. You can also send us your recipes, and if we like them, we'll post them on our Facebook page and the, you know, websites and all that, and that's recipes at alphamedia.com. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Ben Lang from Lang Barbecue Smokers right after these messages. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. JT along with Dr. Dave here on the Radio Northwest Network. Normally we do a KCBS update right now, but because they've got the Royal coming up and we'll have some guests from the Royal here in a week or so, we're going to hold that off and make some big surprises for you when we get Carolyn Wells and her crew back here. We're talking with Ben Lang from Lang Barbecue and Smokers. What's your favorite thing to cook?
I've I'm kind of partial to the ribs.
Uh-huh.
They're kind of easy to get along with. You put some of that rub and seasoning we've got on it, and let it marbleize into the meat, so to speak, before you put it on the cooker.
Right.
And we've got a wet version of a rub and a dry version of a rub. One's red and one's yellow. And they tend to give you a little variety out there to do things. You can have your own little sequence of which one tastes different and this kind of thing.
Sure.
You can have, if you got a couple of kids, you could have one kid cooking one color and one cooking another and have a contest out of it, at the snack bar. I've heard stories of their own families at home making their own little pitmaster competition, at home.
Oh, yeah.
To the extent that, they're either cooking against themselves or they're blind judging one another or whatever they got going, they're having fun with it, though.
Well, you said you have five versions of your basic product. Where do you
five sizes?
Where do you see Lang Barbecue Smokers 5 years from now? Are there going to be more products? Or are you going to make a sixth version? What are you going to do?
It's going to be the same products, but they'll be more refined to the extent that they're more. Just more refined and reinvented in some of the components and stuff that's in them.
Sure.
Yeah. The same cookers, the same sizes. They serve the needs. It's unique how they fell into categories of food per pound. By example, our 60-inch model, which are 5-footer, it's 120 pounds of food's what it's rated at.
Mm-hmm.
Our 84-inch model, which is our large unit, is rated at 320 pounds of food. And then, of course, our extra-large model is our 108s, and they're rated at, 750 pounds of food at a time. So it's a comfort zone of how much food you need to cook and in terms of pounds and then picking out the right grill. So those five models that we offer, extra small, small, medium large, and extra large, they tend to hit those spots for our customers and satisfy those needs and voids. To the extent that some of them have multiple extra large units at their, and then some of them have small units at their house,
Yeah, when I was looking at your website and I saw the smaller units, I thought, but that's perfect for people that are, they got a backyard that you have some guests over, you really like to cook outdoors, you do that. Those are perfect models. And as we were saying earlier, they're comparatively priced with some of the other grills and stuff that you're going to burn out faster. They're not going to work as good.
Exactly. Our stuff's wholesale factory direct. You're buying right from the plant. But remember, consumers like some of your listeners out there on the West Coast, they got to, bear the freight, so to speak.
Right.
You got to get it from the plant to you. We orchestrate that with some delivery service. But those guys charge a fee for doing it. Our small unit can cost $500 to have it brought to you on a load that's being delivered into that state. At the same time, our extra large models can run as much as $1,200-$1,500 on one of the big ones.
Right.
Some of the medium ones are $900-$1,000 to have delivered. So when you factor those prices into our wholesale prices, you're in line with what we consider would be a MSRP,
Sure.
If there was one, yeah.
Where can they go to find this? What's your website?
LangBBQSmokers.com. That's LangBBQSmokers, SmokerS.com. And usually if you Google barbecue smokers, Lang comes up number one with a bullet under the ads. The ads are always going to be number one, but We're the first one not paid as an ad, usually, in most peer searches. That's how long our stuff's been around and how often our sites are frequented. A lot of good tips on cooking.
Yep.
Recipes are there. You've got all the links, of course, to our accessories and sauces and shirts and barbecue-related things that we offer there. Cooking classes are offered seasonally. They're well-received. And like I said, the signature line of sauces and rubs are extremely well received. And the smoker cookers are legendary. They really are. There's nothing like fat rendering on a griddle and grease draining out into a catch and throwing it away and hosing it out when you get done and just enjoying food that was just like out of this world.
There you go.
And it's only because of how well the thing cooks and And you know, you got to procure the wood or the lump charcoal to make it dance.
Right.
But it's not hard to do. Doesn't take a lot of it. You hadn't got to be in the wood business. You just got to be practical about it.
Yep. We got to go, Ben. We're out of time. Ben Lang from Lang Barbecue Smokers, thanks for being with us here on The Nation. I really appreciate it. And friends, you can remember our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. You can check out my stuff on thecowboycook.com. And we will see you next week right here on The Nation. Take care, everybody.